This is a replay of the Tuesday night, July 30th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And I do hope you'll call 888-876-5593. And apologies in advance because I'm tabulating election results for the state of Arizona at the same time. I mean, not the official ones, obviously. They're doing that. I'm just doing that to report on the radio. But nonetheless, let's talk about things that matter. In other words, anything but politics on this show. And actually, at the risk of hitting a very serious topic, it's one about which you should know, and that is HOAs. Now, most likely, if you own a home, you're in one, because that sure is the trend, isn't it? I have never liked these people on any level, but what's been happening across the country, anecdotally we tell you stories now and then, is just outrageous. And there was a story a week ago, because there's an investigation going on in Atlanta. And actually, this started in a neighborhood in South Atlanta. It is South Fulton County, largely African-American middle class. So we're not talking about the highest dollar seats. We're not talking about the ghetto. We're talking about a house in which you might reside, frankly, your basic neighborhood. And so it is that these people bought houses and figured, well, we know there's an HOA, and we know we got to do a couple things. What they didn't know is the HOA takes precedence over their primary lender. In other words, the HOA can foreclose faster than anything, and apparently they've been doing that. One guy, James McAdoo, in the neighborhood had to file for bankruptcy to keep his homeowners association from garnishing his wages over weeds. He still owes them $36,000. And then in nearby Gwinnett County, same type of neighborhood, Karen Gibbons, she'd been paying her fees regularly and on time. The checks were often cashed late or not at all, but out of the blue, she receives a foreclosure notice. She was told she owed $30,000 for late and attorney fees and had to file right then. Yeah, well, what happens if you don't? Oh, we're going to get there. Jewel Anastroza of Noonan, Georgia, said she was discovered to find fees and late fees that the previous owners had accrued, pay attention to this, that came with her new house. Even after going to court and paying off everything she thought the former owners owed, the fees kept ballooning and today are in the tens of thousands of dollars. Mind you, this was not anything she had done or not done. This was the previous owners. So if you're buying a house that's in an HOA, you may want to find out. Yeah, because I don't know what due diligence is involved in this, but you may want to find out. Do you owe anything to the HOA? Trisha Quigley had a home in Cherokee County, Georgia, for 18 years. She didn't pay $800 in HOA fees out of frustration with the billing process. The amount soon climbed to over $10,000 with late fees and attorney fees, and she couldn't keep up. Her house was sold on the courthouse steps for $3.24 to the HOA Association. I am not making this up. $3.24. And they're not alone. So there's a state senator in Georgia who has been representing South Fulton County, many of these neighborhoods, who is introducing bills to try and rein this in. But what's interesting is she was looking for bipartisan support, and so she found a Republican in the state, and initially he thought, oh, well, this couldn't be happening. You know, I don't know what he thought she was doing, lying or whatever. And anyway, it was Matt Brass, who is chairman of the Rules Committee in Arizona in the House, and he's a Republican. And he said, yes, he was skeptical because this was all too outrageous to be true. But then he did a poll and started hearing directly from homeowners in his own district and said, yes, homeowners were losing houses over cars that weren't even theirs, parked on the street in front of their homes, lawns with grass over 4 inches, or a shed painted the wrong color in the back of the house was among the severely punished infractions. And the bottom line is that you get into this labyrinth of fees, and then you can't escape. You send them an email, they charge you for the email. So what starts out at $2,000 quickly, before you can bat an eye, turns into $5,000. And once the HOAs get $4,000 in penalties, they can sell your house on the courthouse steps. And that's what happened to the woman who missed only 2 HOA payments. And she soon owned thousands of dollars, so they took it to court and on the courthouse steps sold it for $3.24. She'd lived in it for 18 years. She comes back to the house, they just showed up and threw all her stuff out on the lawn. And the bottom line is both of these legislatures discovered there were so many horror stories that that they're looking to do some type of legislative relief. And why are the HOAs so powerful? Well, for one thing, most of the attorneys who deal in this type of law are representing the HOA, so they don't want to take on a client who is on the other side of the argument. But actually, a few attorneys who dared to do that are just coming up with their own group of horror stories. One is Matthew Carlton, a Decatur, Georgia attorney, who does represent HOAs, but he also represents homeowners. And he talks about one case where an elderly woman racked up $10,000 in fines simply for having a bird feeder on her porch. And Bottle, he says, I really dislike the way some HOAs operate. I think you should take some out of the equation in most cases. Another case was an elderly woman where the attorney fees were so high, even the judge was incensed when it went to court. And fortunately, the judge, who had steam coming out of her ears, dismissed everything. But that's one of the lucky cases. A lot of time, it is extremely difficult. You won't find a lawyer. And if you do, probably they're not equipped to go after the amount of lawyers who are involved in keeping the HOAs in business. One thing, by the way, is many of them are nonprofits. So in Georgia, they're going after taking away that status because clearly they're making a lot of money. But the right to collect the assessments in most of the paperwork is absolute. It doesn't matter. You've got a medical emergency, too bad. Bottom line is that beware, be afraid, be very aware. And I think that most people don't read the fine lines. Now, to the best of my knowledge, Illinois has not done anything to rein in the problem. And I don't know how big the problem is, because obviously in old established neighborhoods that have been around forever, you're usually not dealing with an HOA. But certainly in newer cities, if you will, places like in Atlanta or Kansas City, where over the last 50 years, the towns have just been mushrooming in terms of growing in population, you have a ton of HOAs. If you're in California, for instance, and you're a developer, you can't develop a subdivision without having an HOA anymore. That became state law a while ago. So the bottom line is, if you don't have one now, the chances are you will in the future. Read the fine print. And years ago, Bruce Williams, when he did financial advice on NBC's TalkNet, he always used to say, you know, buying a house, have a lawyer. No matter what the real estate transaction is, have a lawyer. Sometimes the lawyers don't even catch it. But particularly if you're entering into a condo, for instance, read all of the covenants, clauses, and restrictions, because you'll find out that that some of this is so egregious that, yeah, you might lose your house for $3.24 on the courthouse steps. Frightening as hell. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. My favorite, by the way, gotcha with the victims of an HOA. In this case, it wasn't as much financial as it was a situation where they were continually being harassed about whether they painted their house one shade off the color chart. So they looked long and hard for what they could do, and they looked at the color chart, and they looked at all of the instructions for what you had to do to be in compliance with color. And there was absolutely nothing that prohibited them from painting the house in, you won't believe it, in absolutely large circles and graphic designs and things of that nature. The bottom line, it became the first polka dot house in the neighborhood. So, yeah, nothing they could do. And that's a lot of fun. But at the same time, what you've got, interestingly, is some of the people have retaliatory stories that are just off the charts. And this isn't from the legal and the money aspect. This is including death threats, having property destroyed. And in one case, it was an individual who had his Ring camera destroyed by what appeared to be a machete. And yes, there were the associated death threats and everything else. They wanted to run this couple out of town. And he said, "My wife is from Ecuador. This is small stuff. We're staying." So the bottom line is you've got a real problem when you're buying something. Read all of the fine print. Okay, I'll get up with the soapbox and I'll give you plenty of time to step right up on it. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. Better yet, if it's even fun. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Start to play, dance with me, make me sway. Like a lazy ocean hugs the shore, hold me close, sway me more. Like a flower bending in the breeze, bend with me, sway with ease. When we dance, you have a way with me, stay with me, sway with me. Other dancers may be on the floor, dear, but my eyes will see only you. Only you have the magic technique. When we sway, I go weak. I can hear the sound of violins long before it begins. Make me thrill as only you know how. Sway me smooth, sway me now.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And yes, of course, that's Dean Martin, 1954, and Sway. And that was Cindy in Chicago's request. And I was a little surprised because most people request the rock and roll hit 1960, Bobby Rydell. But kudos to her taste on 1954 Capitol. All right, before we get to Ruth and Gurney, and we will here, if you're not afraid of your homeowners association, let me give you something to be afraid of inside your house, a sinkhole. And so it was that it's been over 11 years now since Jeffrey Bush disappeared in his bedroom. No trace of him has ever been found. He was a 37-year-old man asleep at home in bed when the ground caved in around him, swallowed him into a massive sinkhole. This is February 28th of 2013. His brother, Jeremy, heard a loud crash, ran into his bedroom, only to find a vast crater in place of the bed. And so he jumps into the hole in desperate bid to rescue his brother, but was swiftly pulled to safety by family members as the ground around him continued to cave in. The floor was still giving, the dirt was still going down, and he didn't care. He wanted to save his brother, but there was just nothing he could do. And he said, "I swear I could hear him hollering my name." Ooh, that's just terrible. Well, the house was subsequently fenced off, eventually demolished, gaping 20-foot-wide cavity filled in with gravel, and then, 2 years later, the hole reopened. I know, it sounds like a horror movie. And specialists at the time pointed out that it was very rare to see that phenomenon reemerge in the exact same spot. And of course, you always hear about Florida sinkhole stories. It happens, but usually it doesn't swallow sleeping people in their bedrooms. But in this case, there's a number of underground caverns which are made up of limestone, and that dissolves easily in water. In fact, they're so common that home insurers have to provide coverage against the danger because it is, while not likely to happen, not unusual that it does. And apparently, it was interesting that someone had visited this home 2 weeks before the tragedy to check for sinkholes for insurance purposes. So they came and they verified nothing here, and 2 weeks later, Jeffrey is swallowed. And the inspector said, nothing wrong with this house, nothing. And that's it, a sinkhole. Because they are like that, just as sudden. But here it is, 11 years later, where's the body? And so, never been found from the first or the second sinkhole. And the theory, the working theory, is it most likely dropped into a 60-foot-tall, water-filled void between the sinkhole and lower bedrock. Whoa. The body would have sunk much deeper than the gravel pit that was seen from the street. And trying to revive it would have been unwise, if not impossible, as all the ground around the hole would collapse as well. And that's what was happening with his brother. He said it would be extraordinarily difficult. And after the fact, it would be as difficult and incredibly expensive because the land would probably still continue to fall apart. But little comfort to the family who never got to bury their loved one. So yes, if you're not afraid of what's happening outside your home, maybe it's in the bedroom where you should be most concerned. Yeah, or not. 888-876-5593 takes us to Ruth and Gurney. What's up tonight, Ruth?
Hi, Raleigh. I want to ask you this little legal problem. You might be able to answer it instead of the big one with the big karma of the Homeowners Association. Mm-hmm. And God bless you for when you look into those things. These people are paying stupid tax, and there are godforsaken countries just waiting for them for manipulating these kinds of things. But this is a problem that came up. Maybe 4 months ago, I made a payment on a storage unit.
Okay.
It was in my name, okay. But it was for someone else, a veteran. And I had moved it from a large one to a small one. And then I had the other person's name on it. And they complained, bitterly, don't ever do this again to pay on this storage unit.
Wait, I need to know this. Okay, you own the first storage unit, which somebody else's possessions were in, but it was in your name and you were paying for it, correct?
No, the other person has the items in it.
No, that's what I said. Someone else's items, but it's the storage unit is in your name.
Correct.
All right, and so how did this happen? I got to follow this. How did this happen? How did you happen to take out a storage unit in your name that you're paying for, but you have somebody else putting their possessions in it?
Well, I have only paid for it for a couple of times. The other person is paying for it because it's their things. Now, I have another storage unit where I had a teenage group bring stuff and put it in a U-Haul and bring it to the storage and grandsons and relatives and never had a problem
unit. That's the other unit. We're talking about the one you're having a problem with. But I want to go through this piece by piece because we have to unravel this before I can answer your question. So hold on. Don't go away. We've got the news and we're going to come back. And piece by piece, we're going to find out exactly what happened here. Don't go away. All right. And God knows I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on the radio, but I'll be happy to try and unravel the problem nonetheless. So 888-876-5593, because you might want to chime in after this. Coming up, but the news is coming up now on WGN Radio.
Up on the roof, up on the roof. When this old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face. Get away from the hustling crowd and all that rat race.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, those are the Drifters and Up on the Roof, 1962 on Atlantic. And that was a request of Brian in Joliet. So there you have it. Goffin King, of course. All right. Now, it's sometimes hard to do, but we're going to lead Ruth through this point by point so we understand what her problem is. Now, all right, Ruth, we'll start at the beginning. Did you rent this storage locker?
I moved it.
No. That's a yes or a no.
It's under my name.
Okay.
It's under my name, and
so,
it's paid for 4 years.
All right. You rented it in your name, and you paid for it for 4 years.
No, he paid for it for
who,
4 years.
Who is he?
He's a relative. He was there today from New York. Now,
okay.
I have a second storage unit.
No, never mind. Never mind the second storage. We've got to do this in order, all right? Because very often you tell a story and our heads are just spinning. So just let me guide you through this as much as possible. All right, so you put this in your name, but he, your relative, paid the bill.
He wasn't there.
I'm not. That's a yes or a no.
Ruth,
it's a yes or a no. Did your relative pay for the bill?
Yes, except for 1 month. And they told me I couldn't do that. I couldn't pay for it for 1 month.
Okay. So
argued with me.
Your relative paid for it, only there was a month outstanding.
For 4 years.
For 4 years. Have the 4 years expired?
Well, they passed by.
That would be expired.
Ago.
All right. So after the 4 years, what happened?
He came back today and paid the monthly current bill, and they wouldn't let him on the property. Even though he had the access to the lock, they didn't let him on the property.
Is that because they believe he is in further arrears financially?
No.
Because the unit is in your name?
It's because they simply did not want to accommodate. My other storage unit does it all the time.
No, it doesn't matter. Wait, forget about your other unit. Don't keep going back there, all right? We're talking about one and only one. So here he comes. He's not the owner of record of this unit. You are, but he comes to pay the bill, and they say you can't come on the property. And why did they...
They won't let him change it into his name.
Well,
they want me to come there, and I can't walk.
Well, the reality, though,
I can't get there.
Yes, but the reality is, whether you like that or not, the storage unit is right that they're not going to be willing to change it. Now, perhaps if you came to the middle and you got a notarized statement saying that, that might be. But they can't take this guy's word for it. You're the owner of record, so you absolutely have to do something official to be able to.
He has an ID. And a computer website he pays every
doesn't
month.
Doesn't matter that he pays for it, you see. It doesn't matter that
he
pays for it.
Well, they are not disability accessible for me, and it's cruelty to a person with a disability.
Well, okay.
Metro Storage, Grays Lake.
All right.
And by the way, there's something that doesn't meet the eye with the Navy guy, Seamus Gray, who died in Waukegan, stationed at Great Lakes.
I assume we've changed stories.
Does not meet the eye.
Something we've changed stories here. We're no longer talking about a storage locker. All right. Well,
let's
get back to the storage locker. Talk to the people and find out if a notarized.
I don't want to talk to them.
Well, then don't talk to them and have your problem. All right. Well, it's good to talk to you. Thanks. Appreciate it. I can't help you. I cannot help you. Because you're going to have to talk to them, or there's no way to solve this. So rethink about it. All right, so poor Ruth. I always feel sorry for Ruth. But yes, if something is in your name, I don't think you would want any entity to change it out of your name without some type of proof of your desire. Yeah, if you couldn't come in person, then I would assume if you talked to them and get a notarized statement of some sort, that would be sufficient. But just because someone else is paying the bills doesn't make it theirs. Oh, well. All right. So, oh, man. Mona Lisa and Jackson, good to hear from you. Welcome back to WGN. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
All right. What's been happening?
Oh, I've been busy.
Yeah.
I've been busy. I just celebrated 30 years.
My.
It's teaching dance.
That's
May
great.
2nd at the Carl Perkins Civic Center.
That's awesome. Wonderful. That's wonderful. Think,
30 years.
Think of all the lives you've changed.
Oh, thank you. I hope so. They are wonderful.
That's
great. I have wonderful students.
That's wonderful. And, you know, it's not only a great physical exercise, but it gives them such a sense of accomplishment and identity that it's just terrific that it's available.
Oh, yes. Yes. They're good. We are booked to the end of the year.
All right.
And I mean, it's got me busy, believe me.
I'll bet.
I have been wanting to call you, but I've been so tired up.
Oh, sure.
So I got a break tonight.
Oh, that's so nice.
Let me call and just say hi. And thank you for playing the Drifters.
Oh, yeah.
Up on the roof.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. That's a beautiful song.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, no, I'm just delighted to hear from you. We hear from Marlo, and he keeps me up to date with what's going on. But I think it's just wonderful. You're a real asset to Jackson.
Thank you. Yeah, Marlo is my buddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's my running buddy during the daytime.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. But I wanted to say hi to you.
I'm so glad you did.
Just to touch bases.
All right.
And let you know that I am thinking about you. I'm not going to forget about you. I'm going to be calling again.
All right. I'm counting on it. And if there's anything you want to hear, always let me know what it is, and I'll play it.
Oh, wow. Just play something about Smokey Robinson.
All right, please. Smokey. I'll play one of my favorites by Smokey. I'll do it.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it, Mona.
Good to talk to you. Take
Likewise.
Care.
All right. So Mona Lisa from Jackson, who has a dance school there, and she's Marlo's sister. So 888-876-5593. Yeah, I'll pick something. In fact, directly by Smokey, not even the Miracles. I will pick something next that I truly like. So in the meantime, we will also talk to Cindy and to Eric and to Jim and to you too. But right now, I want to mention the CC Radio EP Pro. This is a throwback radio, and I love it. I've mentioned before, I have one in the kitchen and one in the bathroom. And it's the simplicity of needle and dial tuning, you know, that slide rule dial tuning where you just dial it in yourself to your heart's content. It's got one button for power and one button for a bright light display so you can see it. But it doesn't have a clock. It doesn't have an alarm. It doesn't have digital presets. It does have a tone switch and a bass and treble control so you can kind of have it sound however you want it to sound. But what it's really got, like all of the radios that Bob Crane has developed, is terrific reception. It's got that twin coil ferrite AM antenna, which make AM listening sound just wonderful. It not only sounds great, you'll pick up more with this than just about anything else. It's got a line-in jack, so you can connect your smartphone for audiobooks or things like that because the speaker on this is so much nicer. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, read all about it, ccradio.com, or you can call them, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. Great customer service. Someone standing by. In fact, they'll mail you a hard copy of the catalog if you want to see it. But if you can go online, ccradio.com, you take a look at the EP Pro. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Just to see her, just to touch her, just to hold her in my arms again one more time. If I could feel her warm embrace, see her smiling face, can't find anyone to take her place. I've got to see her again. I would do anything.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It's ironic that that is one of my all-time favorite Smokey Robinson records. And what's the irony in that is that he didn't write it. Of all of them, I was going to say millions, but I'd say probably 10,000 records that Smokey Robinson has written. He didn't write that. But 1987, Just to See Her, and Jimmy George and Lou Pardini wrote it. And but I'll give equal time to Smokey's writing next. I'll play another one after the news, probably my favorite, Linda Griner. Yeah, because he wrote so many wonderful, wonderful songs. And that's for Mona Lisa in Jackson. Hope she liked it. All right, 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And what do we have? Eric is from Champaign, Illinois. Hello, Eric. What's happening?
Oh, hello, Raleigh. This is wonderful. We've only talked about two times, and I'm going to say two times in about 4 years, but let me say this next. I listen to your show every night, and I know all your listeners are like one big family, and it's just that, and we all have problems. Now at my age, I have health problems. I know you have them too. So I want to divide this in two parts. One is a specific trivia question I have for you, and the other is everything else.
Okay.
But which one do you want to do first?
Whatever you want.
Let's do the trivia question, because actually it's the least important. But and this isn't something I found online. This is something I came up with myself just to ask you.
Right.
And you might say it's a complicated question, but not really. We're both aficionados in 1960s rock. So, okay, here goes this question. Now, in the 1960s, two artists, okay, both had good careers, great careers, both had number ones, both had number one selling records. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the easy part. Okay, here's the part I came up with on my own. You know how the recorders in the 60s, they rarely use their own name. They had their stage names, right, Raleigh?
Well, I think a lot of people always had that, whether it was the 60s or the 20s or whenever.
And so I need to tell you that about, so before I ask the question.
Right.
Okay, so we're talking the stage names, okay, and we're talking the way they sound when you say them, which isn't always, you can call this a clue, but it's not, isn't always the same, but the same if it was just, okay, here we go. Both of these artists had millions, had great careers, had million-selling records in the 1960s. Okay, and all right, one of them, if you said their stage name, okay, this is important. If you say their stage name, the one that was on all their records, and then the other one, if you said their first name on the stage name, and you only gave an initial for the second name. So, I mean, that's basically the hard part of it. They both were million sellers in the 60s, both artists. But going by what was on their records, if one you said their first and last name, you just said it. And then the other one, you said their first name and only gave an initial for the last name. Raleigh, you know who that is, don't you?
I have no idea where we're going with this.
Well, I said million sellers.
Well, there's many million sellers in 1960. Now, of course,
remember,
I only know the first half of the 60s, but that's okay. Don't worry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
But
well, yeah, million sellers.
There's many million selling artists that have only used one name, of course. You know, the Dions of the world.
Oh, no, neither one of these. That's what I'm trying to say, Raleigh. Neither one of these recorded under one name. I'm trying to make it.
No, I can't even imagine. You've got to get me to care about the question, and right now I don't.
Well, maybe you will when I. Okay, so both artists, million sellers from the 60s. One, if you said the name outright, and the other one, if you gave the first name and the initial, it would be identical. Here goes, and you don't know who they are. Okay. Remember, one's the real name and one's the initial. Bobby V. Now you know. You've got to know now.
Well, Robert Valine, I don't know what to tell you.
No.
I mean, that's
no.
that's his
Bobby
name.
Bobby Vinton, okay. And Bobby V.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, that's if you want to, okay. Yeah, I say,
yeah,
you got to get me to care about these questions. And I don't care about that one. So
well,
I don't know what
that's
to tell
okay
you.
Because I don't think that, and I thought of that on my own, you know. If you say Bobby V, then it's perfect for the man that has the full name. And if you say Bobby V, it's for the other Bobby Vinton, then you're just saying his last initial. Okay, I said that was a lesser part of the call.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, yeah, I know. It's kind of a crazy question, and I came out from way out in left field. But anyway, I said that was a lesser part of the call. So the more important part is I listen every night, Raleigh, and I don't call very often. So as far as the other stuff is, let's go with DJs first. Did you ever meet or did you ever know Mischke?
Oh, T.D.?
Tom
Mischke. T.D. From CCO. I didn't know him, but yeah. I certainly, and of course also from the St. Paul station, KSTP. I'm very well aware of him, but no, our paths never crossed.
Oh, he was something else.
Oh yeah, no, I've certainly heard him, but you asked me if I knew him, and that I don't.
If you knew him, but that's a fair question because there's some that you do know.
Working over 50 cities, I'm going to know a lot of people.
Oh, hey Raleigh, I was fortunate enough to hear him on his last broadcast and before his last broadcast,
all right.
And he was disabled, and so am I. I can't walk. I'm in a wheelchair, and I'm not. This isn't about my problems, though. This is just about fun. This call from you is just about fun. And look, it's taken a year to make it. But yeah, he. I heard his last show, and he was very.
It was 11 years ago.
Philosophical.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh, his last show. Yeah. Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
August 1st, 2013.
He was very philosophical and very brilliant, as you are too. But now this. So it's. Like I said, this isn't about me. This is just about your show. And I know what. Oh, when you have, like I say, I don't call in on Mondays. I listen to the guys that do charts on Mondays, Raleigh. Mm-hmm. And my area of expertise is the 60s, just about like a lot of your chart guys in the 60s. And I know I don't have a lot of room to talk because I don't call in. But, I mean, sometimes I beat them. Sometimes I'm better. And I know the ones that are really good, they can almost get 10 for 10, and then sometimes you let them go past 10. You've done that for me before, and I don't expect you to remember me either, but that's okay. That's okay. I still listen every night. You can only remember me for what I call in. And
oh, I remember you. Absolutely. And by the way, back to TD for a moment. You do know he has a podcast.
Oh, really? He's still alive?
Yes, he's still alive. The Mischke Roadshow. It's a podcast. And in fact, you can go to Mischke Roadshow.com. Life all over the map, and you can check that out. And as far as I know, he's still doing it. The website's still up. I assume he's still doing it. And
he's got to be up there.
No, he was born in like 1961. He's not very old. 62.
Wow, he's my age.
62.
I was born in 62.
Yeah, I think he was too. Okay. I think he was born in 62. And yeah, he sadly had a lot of problems, a lot of mental health problems too that he battled over the years. So I think that in some ways made him great on the air, but off the air, that was probably more of a disability than a lot of the physical things.
Well, yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I did know. Like I said, I'm confined to a wheelchair. But I knew that he had some kind of a physical disability about his, as bad as mine. But you're saying that, yeah, there was the other two. Oh, man, that guy was. Anyway, you know what, Raleigh? I'm just going to tell you, I'm 62 years old, and your show and music from way back when that you talk about, that's almost my lifeline. That's the part I love about life. But I don't want to go on and on about that either because there's a lot of. So, but yeah, that you're the heart of what matters to me most, and I guess I'll apologize for not calling more. But
well,
oh my God, yes,
I hope you will, and I hope you'll check out TD's podcast because I think you'll like it.
Oh, I will, but I'm not done yet. If you'll give me, go ahead. I want as much time as because I don't call that often, and I know you have breaks. Okay, okay, here we go. Yeah, about your callers and everything, one thing, okay, you know the star. We all, like I say, I literally listen to your show almost every night, but I almost never call. Now, Johnny B. in Ohio, I mean, especially about him, you know what? Now, I already told you my age, so here's part of the fun part. I'm 62. I'm not going to guess your age, but I would say that Johnny B. in Ohio is probably about 10 years older than me, which would make him 72. I'm just saying that. And I got another couple other things about Johnny B. He already knows that Caesar's in heaven. I mean, Caesar is in heaven, the whole deal, you know. I believe heaven is for dogs. I'm not going to go get all philosophical on you either. But then so to the, go to the next, I won't talk about every caller either. But didn't you talk to a man not so long ago that actually had cataract surgery in the 1950s?
Yes. I think that was, I think it was Bill, and I think it was Indianapolis where he had the surgery.
Oh, my goodness. That's certainly
happening regular. I mean, that was not an unusual thing.
I know. And they would say, I know it. And in the night, okay, that was, I was born in 62, so.
They were doing cataract surgeries in 62, that's for sure.
Oh, my goodness. And he was even further back than that.
Yeah, but
he was late 50s.
Yeah. They've been doing it for a long time.
Oh, my God. And they said, now, I know I'm not trying to get gross either, but they said they literally had to bind him so after the surgery he didn't. I listened to that intently.
But let me, all right, let me tell you this, if you're interested in that, the first cataract extraction happened in 1747 in Paris.
Crazy.
So if you're interested in that, you can, you know, hey, you've got an internet connection. You can read all about that. So
compared to that, 1959 isn't that much. Okay, you compare 59 to now. There's no comparison.
Well,
there've
been a lot of real big jumps. In 1884, that's about the time that intracapsular extraction was favored. But you can look at it. You know, some people will claim that if you look at the rudimentary history, one of the first forms of surgery goes back to the 5th century BC. I wouldn't have wanted to be there, but it's got a long history, and certainly yes, it's made jumps in the last couple decades alone, actually. But nothing new there. All right, since you've got a list, hang on, and we'll hear the rest of it. Don't go away. All right, and
we'll
find out what else is on Eric's mind. And we'll get to Jim in Richmond, of course, and David in Winthrop Harbor, and Cindy is in Chicago. Cleansing with sage. Why not? Can't hurt. All right, all that and more coming up on WGN Radio. James, and that's Linda Griner, used to keep Mary Wells in line, and when Mary behaved for a moment there, they dropped her. Linda was a kid at the time, actually. And Goodbye Cruel Love was the flip side of Envious, and both sides were written and produced by Smokey Robinson. So for Mona Lisa, there's more Smokey stuff. He wrote and produced both sides of that. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're talking to Eric in Illinois. Carry on.
Yeah, thank you, Raleigh. Yeah, just a little bit more. So the thing is, remember how you talked about the difference between on the radio, that back when the tubes, and I was not totally too late on that, but almost, didn't you say, and most people that's older than me say the same thing, the tubes, you defined it as a pear-shaped sound.
Yeah, they're warmer.
And it's a sound
yeah.
that you...
Yeah, it's warmer. Absolutely, it's warmer. And that's always been the case. And even when solid state came in, when transistors were around, transistors never duplicated the warmth of tubes. Just never did. And then, of course, when CDs came out, at first those algorithms were so bad they were laughable. And after a while, they certainly got reasonably close and as good as anything that had transistors. But no CD has ever
right.
given me the tonal quality of a tube. That's just the way that is.
Now, okay, did that have anything to do with, because I know about old cars and everything, and when the older cars, they had tube radios, you couldn't just turn the radio on and have instant music,
right.
And I know transistor changed all that. Can you narrow it down to about what that window when that happened?
Well, it was different things for different manufacturers, but back to the tubes a moment, if you're looking for the single best tube when you're looking for that warmth, it was the EL34. In fact, I have t-shirts with EL34 pictures on them, so what can I tell you? And it was a discernible. Some people will argue
wow.
that the KT66 sounds as good. No, EL34, that's the tube. But over the years, that started to change. Car radios were interesting, of course, because they did so many things along the way. I loved it when Lincoln had the deal where right next to the switch for your bright lights on the floorboard was also a switch for the radio. You could change stations, and I used to love it.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Remember back in the mid-50s, Buick had something they called this was just very early, and it was still, you pushed a button and it would go on to the next station.
Of course.
Kind of years before it started, and that was in 55.
Well, yeah, Cadillac had that too. Yeah,
was that called?
I have no idea what it was called. But I had a 55, a 55 Cadillac that had that. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so the thing is, and that usually. Most radios were tubes, maybe, let's fair to say, in the late, go up to 59.
Well,
you know exactly when transistors came into...
When transistors came into being, and it's actually Bell Labs in New Jersey that came up with that in 1955, because I've got a little plaque for that, but anyway, a friend of mine was working there at the time. But it depended on the car. When tubes went out, because of course the interesting part is Chrysler was really innovative along the way. In fact, for a while Chrysler, you know, for a couple of years had the turntable in the car where you could listen to records.
I know.
Yeah, right.
I know,
and
it wouldn't. The record actually wouldn't skip.
Well, yeah, right, but it was tracking at 4 zillion grams. You wouldn't. I've got a few records left from those things that are just literally all
wow.
white.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there were so many things that Chrysler did, and actually they had announced that they were doing away with the all transistor version early on, and of course, you know, later it would come back. But
everybody
everybody will argue what they like, and of course, I'm a Delco girl, so. I like the
there
GM stuff, but
I finally remembered what that was. That was called Wonder Bar.
Right. Okay, all right.
It was like a Buicks or Cadillacs. Yeah, it was called, and it would anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
sure, there was all that stuff, but Chrysler, I guess it was 55, announced that they were going to have the all transistor car radio. It was made by Philco, and it cost like $150.
Did you say Philco?
Yes, I did.
And did you say Chrysler?
Yes.
Oh my God, I thought that was Ford's brand.
Chrysler announced April 55 that they were bringing out the all transistor Philco car radio for $150. That lasted less than a year because it was too expensive. Nobody
wow.
paid the $150. So then they came up with a hybrid, which was like some low voltage vacuum tubes and some transistors, and that was from some 56.
Which still had to deal with the tubes.
Yeah, but I think the first solid state might have been Becker, and that would have been like 63. But, you know, now we're not necessarily talking about, you know, American and all that, but so...
But I'm old enough to remember being in cars that had two radios.
Of course.
Right. And it was, you didn't just turn on the radio on and get your station, but, and the other part sounds, rings true too. It actually did sound better. The tone sounded better.
Of course it did. And of course, speaker placement and all that as well.
Right. Yeah. And speakers, there wasn't no such thing as the Jensen two or three way
right.
either.
But well,
they,
no.
They didn't sound bad.
No, but, you mentioned Ford, and I think that they were involved for a while with Blaupunkt, and I think...
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, because early on, Blaupunkt had the first FM car radio, believe it or not, and this is before FM was perfected. This was 1952. So I used to say the car would turn the corner, but the signal wouldn't. And so that was the... And then Becker did the next year, and Becker's was actually Mexican, I think. And so Blaupunkt was German. But, yeah, and of course, back then, that was before the field effect transistor, so of course those signals, you know, drifted everywhere.
And now the push towards cars, and has been for a while, they want to, because of technology,
right,
which
AM,
I won't even go into,
right.
They want to eliminate it? Yeah.
Yeah, they want to, well, and some people want to eliminate, some concerns want to eliminate both. They want to eliminate terrestrial radio completely. But yeah, the move to eliminate AM, and to a certain extent, there are countries, for instance, in Europe that have eliminated AM. So it's not something that's novel right. to us. Fortunately, the EU is not in favor of it, and of course our government is not either. It's a hard argument to make, actually. You know, one of the real problems for the future is going to be the fight for in-dash, because we won't be talking AM or FM. We'll be talking about, in the smart dash, is a radio there at all? And when you get to the point
right.
that the internet will be as available at the, you know, push of a button on your vehicle as AM
right.
and FM is now, this becomes a different landscape. And one thing that radio has done over the years, to its discredit, is most stations are not great at giving you the latest information, whether it's weather or another type of emergency.
I know.
And so, and GN is
for
great
real.
At that, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, I was so pleased when I was preempted for an hour or two recently, because it's like radio's best and highest good is, you know, presenting things like inclement weather conditions or traffic conditions or things like that, and GN's great at it. But most areas, you know, you're sitting in Iowa, you got a real problem on the highways, and bottom line is you're going to probably have to go to some app on your phone to find out what's really happening, and that
oh,
is,
yeah.
you know, becomes a hard
like
argument to make.
Like everything
then.
Else.
Yeah.
And cool. You know what, Raleigh, this is why I love you so much, your show so much, because I must say that AM radio, I was born in 62, so I'm not, mm-hmm. it's just given so much joy to my life. I remember carrying my little AM radio to school
sure.
when I was 5 years old in 1967, and that's how far back I go, and things change so much, and technology is beautiful. You know that there's an up and a down to technology, and I would say the up is anything you've ever wanted to listen to in your life, and it don't matter how far back you want to go, well, you can listen to it. So from the listening perspective, you've got a huge world encyclopedia. Now, the downside of that is they've taken the personality out of it. They've taken the art. They've taken the what you – was you ever a DJ, Raleigh? I'm sure you was for years, right?
Yeah.
Was you?
In about 30
okay.
markets. So, yes.
Oh, my God. Now, did you also – you worked for Epic – One
yeah.
of my favorite all-time countries, and I mean, I love this guy, is Charlie Rich, and I know you occasionally talked
well,
about him.
Well, I was his promotion manager, so I handled all his promotional stuff.
Was it for Charlie Rich or
yes.
for Epic?
Well, first I worked
Did he record for anybody before Epic?
Of course. He recorded for Sun, and he recorded for
yeah.
And he recorded for Mercury, and he recorded for RCA. So,
wow.
Of course.
Wow.
So, but the original
I know
stuff
for a minute,
Sun.
Willie Nelson recorded for RCA. For a minute,
well,
then he went to Columbia and
a
yeah.
number of other labels as well. So, of course, you know, you can't be in the business for any length of time that you're not going to be through several labels.
they're going to offer money. It's about right.
It's a lot more than that. You also have to really start looking at distribution and the ability to do that. And of course, you want to know if they're going to promote your products. But before you even know that, you want to know if they're in a position to promote anybody's products, because distribution is the name of the game. But yeah, Willie Nelson for quite a while was on Liberty also. He made the rounds, you know.
Right, Liberty, for sure, for sure. Yeah. Now then, that's right. So back,
And he was writing. He was writing before he was really getting much in the way of contracts for performing.
Oh, he wrote and he wrote. And what was that bar in Nashville where they all, when Willie Nelson was in his 20s, when Patsy Cline was in their 20s, they met at that bar, and I can't believe I can't tell you the name.
Probably Tootsie's, but that's where most people...
Tootsie's. Okay. Yeah. But that's a huge slice of history, and that that was where they went back then. And everything's going through my mind at once. I hate that. But stay on one track, though. Back then, you said... here's what I want to talk about. Okay, Sam Phillips. Phillips was a pioneer, right? And he was the pioneer with Sun Records.
He also, did own Sun, but remember, he was a pioneer in many other ways. He also was the first guy to have all-girl radio. He had two stations, WHER in Memphis and WLIZ in West Palm.
Yes, that's right. So, I remember that. Now, what was the million-dollar quartet? That was all Sun stars?
You know, those are things that they came up with later. Things like that, but you know, some of the Sun.
Didn't Elvis record with Sun?
Yes, Sun. Elvis recorded on Sun. Charlie Rich recorded on Sun. Roy Orbison recorded on Sun. Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash. In 69, Sam Phillips sold Sun the rights to all the masters and stuff to Shelby Singleton. You're talking about the earlier days, but sure, Sam was from Florence, Alabama. And of course,
wasn't Charlie Rich from Arkansas?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's from Arkansas. Phillips had been working for a radio station in Muscle Shoals, and that's how he started. And then from there, he became an announcer at WREC in Memphis. And he started, it wasn't Sun, it was called Memphis Recording Studio, but it was on Union Avenue. And that was when he would let amateurs come in. So that's how B.B. King and Junior Parker and Howlin' Wolf made their first recordings. And then what Phillips would
that's
do...
That's what made him great.
What Phillips would do is he'd have to sell the recordings to larger labels because he couldn't distribute anything. And so,
Didn't have the resources.
Oh, of course not. You had a lot of stuff. He launched Sun in 1952. But even there were issues about distribution and all of that. So, but Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lew, Carl Perkins, Roy Orbison, Elvis Presley, those are all Sun staples.
Well, now, and speaking of Elvis now, okay, so once Elvis left Sun, did RCA buy his contract? Because he's not on RCA.
It's not like that. Now you're getting into, unfortunately, Colonel Tom Parker, who took the contract to RCA, and that's a whole ugly story. But that happened, yeah.
So he went somewhere between Sun and RCA.
No, he went from Sun to RCA.
Thank you. Right.
There was no in between. What's his name? Colonel
RCA
Parker.
RCA threw the money at him, and Parker seen RCA's money.
That was part of it. That was a big part of it. So, Sam Phillips made a lot of money for other reasons. You know, he was one of the first investors in Holiday Inn, which was a Memphis company.
Oh, wow.
He actually was involved with selling that contract to RCA. I think RCA paid Sam Phillips $35,000 for that. And then he took...
Was that when he bought his mom the house?
I don't know, but I don't know about... we're not talking about Elvis here. We're talking about Sam Phillips, and I don't know his mother. But what I do know is that Sam Phillips took that $35,000 he got from RCA and invested it into Holiday Inn, and that made him a millionaire.
But I think it's safe to say when Elvis Presley went from Sun to RCA, that was the first time in his recording career he made real money.
Yeah, well, right. And how much of it he saw, who knows. But in any event, that was the deal.
He stayed with didn't Elvis stay for RCA for a long...
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a long relationship because I remember the records, and they kept saying RCA on them. And I'm talking even into the 70s. So, and there was RCA. Wasn't Camden the cheap label for RCA?
Yes, yes, it was absolutely one of them. And then, of course, you got the R&B label, which was Groove. So, like that, that Mickey and Sylvia stuff and all that, that was owned by RCA, just like Columbia owned OK. So, same kind of deal.
Yeah.
So, which was
Columbia and RCA had the big money, and somebody was good. Well, it was more than that, more to it than that, I know.
Well, there was an awful lot of bureaucracy, too, which let some other people come in and do very well. But, yeah, RCA was, as far as I know, other than Sun, the only label Elvis was on, legitimately.
And, you know, if you go way back, okay, now I'm going to go back to the early 50s. Columbia and RCA were big in the 78s, and they were big in the late 40s, and they were big in the early 50s.
Yeah, but
so that carried through.
Right, but what you're going to tell me is, of course, they both had a huge fight, and Columbia, of course, came up with 33 and a third, and RCA came up with 45, so that was 49 and 50.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that was a big fight, but ultimately it worked out perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah, in the beginning they didn't think 45 had a chance.
Well, RCA did. RCA thought 45 had a chance, believe me, but Columbia didn't want to believe it. But
that was a mistake on Columbia's part.
Actually, though, you could argue that 45s are somewhat irrelevant to the finances of music
because
the dollars happened because of selling albums, and that did not happen until the Beatles.
Isn't it wonderful that they've made, even with all the technology and how far we are in the future, they've actually made 33s relevant again?
Well,
relevant,
I don't know that I'll go that far. We'll end it on this. I will say that it's become a niche market, no doubt about it. But percentage-wise, it's nothing. But it's a nice niche market. And, of course, you're paying 10 times what you did when you bought them the first time, or 20 times. But then again, that's inflation on everything. Call me again soon. Thanks.
Hey, Raleigh, could I get one more question before we hang up?
Well, it's got to be quick because Adam's going to bludgeon me.
It is. Okay, about the tubes, I go online a lot. If I listen to music from when way back in 50s and 60s when the tubes were relevant, if you listen to that online with a YouTube speaker, do you still get the tube sound? And that's my last question.
We could argue that into the next dimension. I will tell you no, and I could also give you people who would tell you yes. All right, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Raleigh. All right, bye-bye.
Good to talk to you. Yeah, and hey, the news and other things are coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Hugo Winterhalter's orchestra featuring Eddie Haywood and Canadian Sunset, 1956 on RCA. Dave and LaSalle wanted to hear that. Yeah, I mentioned that Colonel Parker did that contract with RCA. Sam Phillips had to sell either way, and actually Parker did get the most money from RCA, and that was more than anybody ever paid before, which was $35,000. And when it was, first RCA was saying, we'll give more than $25,000. At that time, it was Atlantic who also was willing to pony up with $25,000 for Elvis. And remember, this is before any hits. RCA finally did, and they also had to give Elvis $5,000. So, yeah, it was $40,000 for somebody they had no idea if this guy was going to produce a hit. So that at the time was a lot of talking. And, of course, it made Sam Phillips solvent. All right, Jim in Richmond, I hope you're still with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I was out of breath just listening to him.
He had a list.
Yes. I just wanted to tell you how it went with Dr. Visit.
Yeah.
It went, it was usual, the usual 10 minutes with the doctor.
That long?
And he says, we're going to, yeah, that's because he left and came back in again to give me the shot.
Okay.
And so anyways, and then he said, we're going to give you a Vabysmo, and then, you come back in 4 weeks, and then we'll give you the Kenalog again.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, okay. Well, he looked, they took pictures of the eye, and they said, oh, it's clear. Because last time it was all swollen, remember?
Right, yes.
I told you about that. And then they gave me, the last time they gave me the Kenalog steroid shot.
Right, right.
So then he goes, oh, it's clear. Okay, we're going to give you this shot. And then we'll see how it is in 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was amazing because usually when they dilate my eyes and he gives me the shot, then I walk outside, and all I see is white. I can't see anything.
Right.
Well, he gave me the shot, and my brother and I, we walked outside, and I go, I can see.
Oh, that's great.
And I don't know if it didn't change anything yet, but it didn't affect the dilation like it normally does.
Good.
And I was thought that was great, and because... you know, it's an almost 2 hour drive home, you know.
Sure.
So, and then at that night, things looked clearer. I didn't have that smoky, you know, that's how I describe it.
Yeah.
Where you walk in into the kitchen and it looks like you burnt bacon, you know.
Right.
And I didn't have that. So it's been clear in so far as that. But it hasn't changed. What would you say, distance and stuff?
Yeah, clarity.
You know, in other words, I still can't see that far, you know, forward.
Right.
And then I still have problems trying. Like I had dinner tonight, I couldn't even see what was in the dish.
Yeah.
But that's the way it's been all the time. So, anyways, that's how it's been. I'm seeing clearer and stuff like that. So that was Wednesday.
Wonderful.
Then on Friday, I get a phone call, and it says, this is, I think he said, genetic ophthalmology.
Okay.
And we want to talk to you about the Vabysmo shot.
Okay.
And then he starts going over, okay, your policy says this, and your policy says that, and if you paid in over $3,500, they're going to pay it 100%, and if it's less than that, then they'll pay 80%, and stuff like that. And I says, well, you know, I haven't heard anything. My Humana is slow on doing claims,
right?
So I haven't heard anything yet. I'm going to call this next week. Because that'll give them 2 weeks to find out if how much I may have to pay. And
well,
then I called.
Now, remember, Genentech, that's the name I gave you. They have the Patient Foundation where they might be able to help you as well. Did they tell you about that?
Right. You know, I have the number here, but I said, I didn't know. I couldn't call them yet because I don't know.
Right. What the deal is.
The answers, that's
sure.
What, right.
Sure.
And so then they put me on the phone with a nurse from the research department
of Genentech.
And Yeah, in their research. In other words, they're probably building up a background so that for how they're selling the product.
No, they market it, of course, and they have a lot of different stories, even on their website, about people who have been treated with it over periods of time. So sure.
Right. So she's asking me a lot of questions, and I'm telling her what drops I take, and I'm telling her that I had the cataracts, and then I had the laser surgeries and all that kind of stuff. And she's like, "Well, can you give me the exact dates?" we're talking. Do you want to know the dates and the she wanted to know what the lot number was of the other drops of the shots that I was taking. And I says, I don't have that information, you know.
The doctor does. Right, absolutely. Have him call the doctor's office.
Right, right. But I'm just saying, and she's asking me all these questions, and then she was, fumbling with all this stuff, and I'm going, and you're a nurse?
Yeah.
So that's how it's been, and I have. You ever take a field of vision test?
Yes.
Well, you look in there and you click every time you see a light.
Right, exactly.
Right. Well, I'm having my own field of vision test. By the way, I sit out on my front porch, and right when the sun goes down, then I see if I can see the fireflies.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and I usually get maybe one or two.
Okay.
But that's what I've been doing lately.
All right. Good.
And people have been asking about this shot. That one lady that called, I think her name was Linda, I'm not sure.
Yeah, from Richmond Park.
Oh,
yeah.
She only sees shadows.
Right.
You know, so you can, if she's listening, you can see that it's helping me a little.
That's great. Vabysmo.
And then. Yeah, Vabysmo. And then I wanted to ask you a few other questions.
Sure.
I want to keep you on the phone for an hour.
Okay, all right, go for it.
No, I'm kidding. I couldn't call Wednesday because you were really busy.
Okay.
And I couldn't call Thursday because you were really busy. And you were talking about Culver's.
Uh-huh, now, yes, I like Culver's.
Culver's is my favorite place in Whitewater. My favorite time of the year is Lent.
Okay.
Because I don't know if they have it by you. You like the fish sandwich.
Yes.
At Lent, we get walleye.
Yes. Oh, they have that here as well.
Oh, and walleye is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, and if I could see the drive, I would have it every night.
Yeah.
It's only one. My friend, she can drive me, you know.
Yeah.
But the walleye is great there. And then there was another thing I wanted to talk to you about, but I've forgotten it already.
Oh, no.
But I wanted to let you know about the Culver's.
And oh, yeah.
I don't know if you like the walleye.
Yes,
or not,
no, absolutely. When it's on the menu, I usually get it. Although I also just like the cod. Absolutely. I like Culver's. Like I say, John doesn't. But, that's okay. So I enjoy it, and he enjoys something else.
And cheese curds that one lady asked,
that's
just a ball of cheese with breading on it.
Right. I'll pass on that, but yes.
And I pass on it, too.
Yeah, well, great.
Great.
Well, this all sounds really good. I'm glad to hear it, Jim.
Yep.
Hopefully that will continue.
Right. And then the one other thing, I know what I wanted to tell you about, is I got the doctor to switch. I'm going from the Freestyle Libre 2 to the Freestyle Libre 3.
Okay.
And I have trouble all the time because you have to hit the app and then you have to hit the button to check, and I press a million times before my thumb finally, activates it, and then you have to touch the symbol on your the sensor on your arm, and then it gives you the reading. And right now it just says my sugar is high.
Oh, geez.
And I went, and they're going to send me out the threes at the end of the month. And those, they give you a reading on the phone every 5 minutes.
Right.
And you don't have to do anything. Just hit the app and it tells you what it is.
Yep.
And they check it every 5 minutes. Well, I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if you can hear. I don't know if you can hear the beeping.
No, but I'm very well aware of this because John did it for a while, so I know about the three. And once you are used to it, it's just seamless.
Right, and that's the problem with me is I'm what they call brittle diabetic. I could be 400 and walk around, and I'm perfectly normal. And I could be 30 and walk around and perfectly normal.
Right.
So that's why I have to have it.
Sure, sure. Right now, there's nothing that is more accurate over a 14-day period. It's number one at that. So that's great.
Right. And I thank you very much for your time tonight.
Always.
I don't want to keep you all night long.
Yeah, well, good to talk to you tonight. And keep me posted, and I'll hear from you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
And have a wonderful evening.
You too. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to Blaupunkt radios and area codes and Sun Studios, why not, and James's stories and David's requests, and Cindy is going to go ahead and cleanse with sage. Well, all that more coming up on WGN Radio.
Why don't you stay?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Elgins. Stay in My Lonely Arms, 1966 on VIP. Brian and Joliet said he wanted that by the Four Tops, and the Four Tops did it later as an album cut, but the Elgins had it out as a 45, Stay in My Lonely Arms. So hopefully that will suffice for Brian's request. If not, well, he'll let us know and we'll play the Four Tops. So Gary is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh.
What's happening?
Yeah, your last call brought up a couple of other things you were talking. He was asking if YouTube would bring out the tube amplifier sound, and you have to hear that on a tube amplifier. You can't really hear any. I don't think any recordings of it would do it justice.
It doesn't do it justice. I will say that I have heard analog recordings that sound pretty good if you've got the right speakers, but I would still argue that, no, you need those tubes. But so that's why I said it's kind of a murky area. I'm going with no, but I have heard some remarkably good simulations.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We have a friend who has an old amplifier, and he was running his iPhone through it, and we were listening to several different formats. One of the things we went through for a minute was the local classical station, just because their audio is really nice.
Right.
That will improve any kind of digital stuff you're listening to. It'll make it sound better, but you can't, generally, it's in my experience anyway.
I agree, yeah. So,
but yeah, I was, I was thinking about the old the 700 area code that I was I remember it was around in the 90s, and the only thing I remember you could do with it was call it 700. I think it was 555-4141, and it would say who your carrier was.
Right.
But was that used for anything else, or was that just?
It was part of the North American numbering plan, and it would be something that inter-exchange carriers would use. So it was for carrier-specific number assignment, special services. But no, it wasn't meant to be for the public. They actually prioritized, I guess they introduced that late, like 1983. And what they were doing, they were trying to get ready for the fact it wasn't all going to be good old Ma Bell. It wasn't going to be AT&T. There was going to be long-distance competition. And so that's what it was used for. Then later, it was used for custom calling services for VoIP and stuff like that. But 83, remember the breakup of the Bell, and everybody was worried about how that would happen.
Sure.
So you had to inter-exchange carriers. You had to kind of accommodate that. And so it doesn't really designate geographical numberings, but it's something that's exclusive to each inter-exchange carrier. So, you know, local exchange carrier could route a call to 700 numbers in the inter-exchange, you know, and on like that. But it wouldn't necessarily be. And that 555-4141 is the one you're talking about. 700-555-4.
Yeah.
That allowed subscribers to identify their long-distance carrier. So remember,
yeah, I used to talk.
Right, because they were slamming. Everything was talking about how you signed up for MCI, but now you're not on MCI. So you could use that and find out who your carrier was. And then later, I think AT&T Easy Reach 700, where subscribers could forward calls and stuff like that. So they used they used it for that. But I don't think any 700 usage is working because there were all not only because there was other ways to do it, but because there were conflicts within itself. So Vonage uses 700, I think, for like weather information, 700 weather or whatever.
Right.
So you can use it as an inter-exchange number, but it changed over the years. But originally, it was to make sure you weren't slammed.
Yeah, when I found out about it, I also used to see what I could do with 1010 codes on it, because, you know, AT&T used to have these things, you know, called 1010 AT&T or something.
Right.
And so I would just out of curiosity, I would, do other 1010 numbers, prefixes, and see how many various companies I could find. It was kind of interesting to do, but.
It is interesting.
Amused.
And of course, the results you get might be different if you were using another carrier when you were originating the calls.
Yeah. I think I did 1010 and then whatever the amount of numbers you had to do to see what.
Yeah, right. No, I absolutely. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
And we will pick it up right there. And we will talk to you as well coming up on WGN Radio.
You'd have no other woman. You'd be weak as a lamb. If you had the strength to walk out that door, my love would overrule my sense, and I'd call you back for more. If I were your woman,
if you were my woman,
if I were your woman,
if you were my woman,
and you were my man. She tears you down, darling. Says you're nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
But I'll pick you up, darling.
Pick you up when you fall.
When she lets you fall. You're like a diamond.
Shining.
But she treats you like glass. Yet you beg her to love you. But me, you know.
You were my woman.
If I were your woman.
You were my woman.
If I were your woman.
You were my woman.
If I were your woman.
You were my woman.
If I were your woman.
You were my woman.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, Gladys Knight and the Pips. If I Were Your Woman, 1970 on Soul. It was Marianne in Chicago who had requested that and happy to play it. Getting back to Gary in Austin, about 1010 numbers. And, of course, for people who don't remember, they were the access numbers for your long-distance carrier of choice. And, of course, when they had all those commercials in the early 90s, they were dirt cheap. And then they got really expensive. But I only know about four. I know about, you mentioned 1010, 220, 321, 345, and 987. What else do you know?
Well, I'm trying to think what they were. And I can't remember. I knew 1010-288 was one.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think that was AT&T.
AT&T was also 345.
I was trying to think what Sprint was. Were they? It was somebody. Wasn't somebody 1010-300?
Yeah, 1010-288 is another AT&T. Yeah, how about that? Like I say, 321, 220, and 987 were all part of MCI. So
and I found all sorts of them back in the day because I would just be looking through to see what ones I could find.
Sure.
I don't remember now what any of them were because a lot of them were real small.
Oh, of course.
Phone companies.
Of course.
And so. But it was kind of interesting to look through those.
Oh, absolutely. I know people who thought they were going to be making calls for free. And of course, that wasn't the case. I think there was a 1010-811, but I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I remember that. I think I played around with that one. But yeah, they'd eventually get you if you, you were kind of borrowing time. I always thought about that.
Yeah. And
they'd eventually find you.
And you're right. There were a ton of them with those small companies that nobody's ever heard of or could remember. And, you know, a lot of them still exist to this day. The only difference is they're really expensive now. They're back to like $1.25 for the first minute and then, you know, like that kind of crap. But they still exist.
Don't use our company. Pay as high.
Yeah, right.
You know, long distance bills you get.
Right. And of course, for people who don't remember what it was like before the breakup, before you were allowed to choose your long distance company, of course, you know, you were dealing with Ma Bell or, you know, if you were in a Gentel exchange or whatever, you dealt with them and you paid whatever it was. And it usually was like $5 for the first 3 minutes and then $1.25 for every minute thereafter or whatever, something like that. And so the rates were outrageous. And then, of course, when they allowed other companies in there, it seemed like it was so cheap, but you look back and realize in the 80s, you know, it wasn't that cheap. But now, of course, who the hell pays for long distance?
Yeah, and of course, in those days, too, you had certain times of the day you paid certain rates.
Oh, absolutely. So. Yes.
So you
especially,
try to make your calls at like 7:58. So
right, so you got the right the nights and weekends and all that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That. Then they have specials for like Father's Day, which invariably was the most collect calls ever made in any one day was always Father's Day. But it was amazing how much we paid for that. And you look at it now, I know I'd be a wealthy woman if I didn't make all those phone calls.
I mean, I know my phone bills were high, you know, I mean, they were several hundred dollars.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so, you know, a lot of the time.
I knew I was in trouble when it would come in the large envelope, you know, like the 9x12 envelope. I'm like, oh, God, I've done it this month. <You know? laughs> So, yeah.
I remember AT&T or Southwestern Bell, I guess it might have been at that time, right, started putting phone bills in Braille.
Oh, okay.
And I was living on the Galveston Island, and so I had Houston calling, so it put all the calls I made on there.
Oh, yeah.
So they sent me one of those boxes. It was kind of, you know, what's this box?
Yeah.
It's my phone bill. Yeah, you know, 30 or 40 pages of,
exactly.
Stuff on it, which,
You know, I can't think of anything else that went down in cost like that.
Yeah.
You know, everything else, you look at what you paid for rent or you look at what you paid for utilities other than, you know, your phone calls. And, I mean, everything's gone sky high. I don't know anything else that dropped through the floor. There probably is something, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, and we all don't think of just calling within our city. I mean, we all do 10-digit dialing everywhere.
Well, right.
You know, I mean, the only time you did it back in the day, it was in the 90s, if you lived in a city that had, you know, two area codes.
Exactly.
You know, and you then would then do it. And the rest of us, we were just all calling 7-digit dialing. But now, I mean, there are very few places you could even do 7-digit dialing.
You're absolutely right. And fewer by the day, probably. But I still lament why the hell they just didn't add another digit to the 7-digit phone number and leave the area codes the way they were.
Yeah, that actually, I thought about that myself, because, you know, that way it would be much easier just...
Yes. Yes. Well, some study said that the human mind couldn't remember more than 7, but hell, excuse me, I add that area code, that's 10. But I guess they thought 10, you knew all your area codes, but now areas that have 4 and 5 different area codes, you don't necessarily know all your area codes, and you don't know which ones are overlays, and you know, all that kind of stuff. I just hate it. I loved it when area codes had rules. You know, there was, I love to say there was a vowel in the center. There was always a 0 or a 1, and then they couldn't end in 0, you know. Those were the rules, and it was perfectly fine.
I used to know almost all of them back in the 70s.
Me too.
And
me too.
I was trying to find a station. I was getting in on the sporadic E.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the Big Sky Country. I was 93.3. So I was calling, you know, the directory assistance operator, and the operator knew who they were.
Right, I'm not surprised.
I think it's called Y93 is what they were called. And they're in Billings. And
right,
so she
right.
gave me the number, and I called the guy up, and he was so happy to realize that I was in Texas, and he wanted to hear a couple. We wanted to hear KNUS.
Yeah.
Which was Big Top 40 at the time, and he was really happy to hear that. And he called somebody else working, and he goes, "Hey, this guy's in Blanking, Texas, listening to us. Come in here. He's going to play me KNUS." Came in, and I was, and you know, I had this nice sporadic E opening to the West.
Yeah,
you know, but it was a weekend day rate for that
right.
call. So
right, exactly. Yeah. Now I think they're Eagle 93 now. Who knows? Maybe they are still Big Sky Country. Hard to tell. But in any event, I think they are.
Yeah, I think there was some sort of automated top 40 or something when I got them, if memory serves.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and think about that. You know, you mentioned calling directory assistance. In 1970, there were 1 million Americans employed as operators by the phone company.
Yeah.
Now I think there are 0.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I know there were a lot of people that were operators. You know, you'd meet them here and there, and then those jobs just went away. And I don't, wow, 1 million. I didn't know it was that high. But
it was. It absolutely. Yeah. I read that somewhere. There were over 1 million people in some form of operator, whether directory assistance or whatever, but actually as an operator, in the AT&T system. And I don't even think that included, like general telephone or any of the cooperatives.
Yeah, and they had intercept operators in those days too.
Yes.
That might be. And so that was. It's hard to remember back that far. But,
And it's hard to believe how far we've come.
We've gone, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, fun. Yeah. I hadn't thought of 10-10 in a while.
I've been thinking about bringing that up, and think about it,
this was the perfect night.
Yeah. Okay, great.
All right, good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Great. Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye. All right. Yeah, good memories. 888-876-5593. Naples, Florida. You know, you go out to eat, you don't expect the roof to fall in on you. We'll get there with Eduardo. We'll also get to Sam. Oh, Sun Studios. And David in Winthrop Harbor, if he's still alive, not asleep, but he's got requests. And James on the South Side and Cindy in Chicago, who's going to smudge. And more coming up on WGN Radio.
When you love me. Come on and give me life, please let me. You gave my life,
my life.
Oh, you gave it a
me.
And that's why it's to you,
to
yes
you.
It is. It's to you that I'm
leaving.
That's why my heart, that's why my heart is singing. Oh, please, come and kiss me. Give me life. Let me live. I want to dedicate my life to you. Yes, I do. I want to be by your side my whole life through. And I'd like to give to you all the things that you crave. I want to work for you, baby, for the rest of my days.
Oh, WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. And yes, those are the Whispers, one of my all-time favorites. 1966 on Dory. And Lavelle Degree, who is a Whisper, and we've talked a lot about him and his past and all that, but he's been in the Whispers for quite a while, and not with the original crew, of course, but really for many, many years now. And he turned 76 tomorrow, so happy birthday to Lavelle, who is still with us, as are the Scott twins. Yes, Scotty and Walter Scott are still with us as well. And sadly, Marcus Hudson is no longer, Gordy Harmon and Nick Caldwell all are past tense now. But the Scott brothers and Lavelle still going strong as the Whispers. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. So you go out to eat. There's a lot of things you think may happen. The ceiling falling in on you is usually not one of them. But Eduardo in Tampa wants to talk about the Naples story. So, Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yep. Oh, my God. Thank God that nobody got killed.
Well, that's right. There were several.
I
think about like 9 people taken to the hospital, but I think they all were released. And and so, you know, I read in some where they called it a roof collapse. And while that's true, what it really was for the people in that restaurant was a ceiling collapse, you know, when you get right down to it, because that's precisely what happened in downtown Naples Sunday, 6:30, pretty much the height of dinner hour. And so inspectors are looking at this. And obviously now you see the big unsafe to occupy sign and all that. But I have not heard any comments of what did it, have you?
No, but it's interesting. There's a roof. One of my churches over here in Tampa, they threw us into a banquet hall called Higgins Hall because they are fixing the roof in the church. So, I mean, they're being prevented over there, so...
See, this was not, I know they keep talking about a roof collapse, but this isn't a roof collapse. What happened, the restaurant had a drop ceiling, and you've seen an awful lot of those. And so, you know, like sometimes you'll see the tiles or whatever. Well, between that drop ceiling and the roof is a lot of things, including things that maybe are producing some water. Who knows?
Okay.
But all of a sudden, the ceiling is just coming down all over these people. And I'm just curious, what did it? And the first thing I thought about was water, you know, as far as what would be. But I don't know from what I understand.
Yeah, there's been a lot of rain. Yep.
Yeah, and so...
It's like sun in the morning, rain in the afternoon. Yeah, there's been a lot of precipitation, yeah.
So what could have breached between the roof and that drop ceiling? What could have been? And I don't think they've released anything yet that I've seen, because the first thing I thought when I read about this is, you know, what on earth would have done this? And so I know they were looking to see, was it a leak? And I don't know that anybody knows. So obviously they're going to have to demolish the drop ceiling and take a look at, you know, what's going on. But yeah, I'm sure none of these, you know, enjoying their pasta and all that says, well, I think that's the ceiling. You know? So, yeah, not... Not a happy
time. Yeah, that was not on the menu, yeah.
No, it absolutely was not. So 9 people injured, but as I say, all of them out of the hospital, thank God. And I assume that the La Trattoria's owners have plenty of insurance, and they'll need it. I don't know if any of the owners of the restaurant own the building, for instance, or were they renting it from another owner. That I don't know, because that may be a factor, too, as far as what did what. I also don't know when it was last inspected, but man, we'll know all of that soon.
Oh yeah. So yeah. Moving on to my job here. So I'm going to be starting Friday. I'm still finishing up some CBTs. I got my uniform. They gave me a booklet today, and yeah, it's a pretty nice booklet here. It's got a timeline. It tells you when the first ice cream they got.
Oh, chocolate, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So they start like in 1930 with George Jenkins and go from
right.
there. Yeah, I told you you'd learn about George.
Wiggly, yeah, they mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I figured they would. So that's great. So the first ice cream, when was it?
Doesn't give a date, but let's see. 10 million free cookies were given to kids every year. Located in 8 states.
Okay.
The candles on the famous Publix birthday cake water tower in Lakeland was 8 feet tall.
Okay.
The first pharmacy, 1986.
Now, did they in the 40s?
95 million miles of truck travel.
In the 40s, did they mention that George mortgaged an orange grove?
Orange grove.
Yeah, he did. He mortgaged an orange grove to put a down payment on the store. Yeah, that was one of the weird things. But yeah, all the expansions, and you can see all the trucks and the offices and all that. Yeah,
I got to get one of those green suits.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so good deal. So, what are you going to be doing at work? Do you know?
Well, I'll be in produce.
Okay, good.
Yeah, helping out there in produce. Yeah,
good.
Yeah, I actually talked to the floor manager, so we got to talk briefly today. Mm-hmm. So Friday I get rolling, and I'm sure there'll be more time next week.
Yeah.
So there's an app you log in, and you track your time there, because it might change from day to day. So
oh sure.
I got to pay attention to that. Yeah. So
that
it's not a
good.
Set.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, it's sort of an advisement. They'll tell you for sure when you look at the app.
Yeah, and there's other stuff on there that you can go in there and you can find out about your to request time off, sure. Benefits, the works.
Well, good.
It's on that app.
Good.
Yeah,
well, I can't wait to hear all about it, so keep me posted.
Yep.
Okay,
yep,
thanks.
I'll call later in the week. Okay.
I look forward to it. All right, and we'll pick up what's going on in the news and get right back to you right here on WGN Radio.
Watch out!
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, the Marvelous Marvelettes, Playboy, 1962, Tamla, Brian, and Joliet wanted to hear it, and now he has. All right, Tubby is calling back, and she's got a request. So, Tubby, welcome back to WGN Radio. All right, I know Tubby's near the phone somewhere, and we'll wait till she and the phone connect.
Here.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, so what do you want to hear?
Oh my goodness. Oh, you know who I like?
Who?
I always like the Teddy Pendergrass and the what's the name of that group? Okay. Teddy Pendergrass.
Right.
What's the name of his?
Absolutely,
like
and Philadelphia. He was in Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, I think.
Anything. I don't care. It don't matter.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We will do that. You'll hear it next.
Don't go.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Last week, you all were talking about, you know, people calling, and I get home late from work, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so I'm trying to collect myself. But you all were talking about, I was watching, my TV went out, but before it went out, the remote went out, okay? And I'm 72. I couldn't fix it. So I was watching the same station over and over. So they had this one commercial that they showed all the time. And so they give you this phone number.
So
a friend of mine bought me a new phone. And in the meantime, I called the number. I didn't think nothing about it. When I called the number after they said they were going to give me this new phone, I called that number. And guess what happened? They directed me to their free lifeline thing.
Oh.
And it's weird. Look. They wouldn't let me on. First, they ask you your age.
Oh.
Are you over 50, right?
Yeah.
Then you realize you're trying to say something. Then you realize you're talking to a tape recorder.
Exactly. Exactly. To artificial intelligence. You betcha. Yes.
You all were talking about that last week. And I said, you know, that is so bogus. Then the other one was like, you know, when you go to call for customer service, and I just know. Like, you talk to some people that do their job.
Yeah.
And some people that go with their little lunch bucket, I can just see them in their little cubicle right now. So I can do calling stuff, you know, whatever that job was. I hated it. And dry calling people. And I can just see them. So the man was saying he couldn't give me this information. But I had gotten the information before.
I
knew he was sitting at his desk picking up a paycheck, okay?
Exactly.
And I always tell him, if you really want something and you need something, call three times if you have to. And the people, where you come from? Oh, I'm in Malaysia.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You're in a country we can't find on a map.
I'm in Lotipoca, Alabama.
Right.
And they set these people at their houses. It's like so crazy. But I just want you to know, I really do enjoy your show. I needed this as a monotony breaker for my life, okay?
Oh, it's wonderful to hear from you, and you're not alone. My favorite on those phone calls is when they answer and you can hear things like chickens in the background. And they say, where are you? You know, well, I'm in, and again, you can't find it on a map. So, yeah, I know exactly how you feel.
It teed me off so bad because my high school counselor, you know, anybody's going to buy you a phone.
Right.
I've been using a free phone forever, okay?
Yeah.
When my mom died, I was homeless for like 5 years. And what they're doing now, I want to make this point too so people know. When you get your phone now, they're including data with your ability to make a call.
Yep.
When they gave out free phones, you had so many minutes to make calls. So if you were trying to get some social services, once your minutes was gone, you forget it. First, you get an answering machine every time you call to get some find somebody to help you, okay? Then you have to leave your information. By the time they call you back, Riley, you ain't got no minutes to...
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yes, so true.
You know what, but this is really important because now then they start passing out unlimited free text and calling, what they call it? Calling and text, right? Okay. They gave that free. Now what they're doing is combining... And they said they're going to stop giving out free phones pretty soon anyway. But what they're doing is they're combining the data. I don't know what a 4G is from a 2G, okay?
Yeah.
The point is, I looked up one day and I could not even make a phone call. I'm a senior citizen. Well, dial 911. Who says you're going to get some service when you call 911?
Yeah, right, exactly.
You do your thing. Thank you so much. I just want people to know.
All right.
Call three. You might get some help, okay?
Good advice. And you will hear Teddy Pendergrass with Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes next.
That's it.
All right.
Just rock your sleep, okay?
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
I agree with Tubby. You may have to call multiple times. The other thing is if you call and the person answers, if you cannot even make out what they're saying when you've called, hang up. Try again. Yeah, there's the frustration on that is unbelievable. So 888-876-5593. And let's see. I believe that Dave in Winter Harbor, Illinois, had a request. So, David, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh.
All right.
Johnny Horton, North to Alaska.
Okay.
And the reason that brings me to that is that Johnny Cash is one of my favorite all-time artists.
Okay.
And the reason I even brought that up is I think that's a wonderful song by Johnny Horton. I've never knew it, but other through Johnny Cash.
Ah, well.
And so I was listening to Artist's Choice put out by, I don't know, Sony, maybe CBS. And they listed every Johnny Cash, his artist's favorite songs, and that was one of them.
Great. Perfect. So, we will play it for you tomorrow night.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the call.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, 888-876-5593. Dave in LaSalle had a request. What you want to hear, Dave?
Hi, Raleigh. Hey, a song called There Is Something on Your Mind by Big J. McNeely.
Yes.
And the other one, you mentioned Howlin' Wolf before, and I there's a Howlin' Wolf song I would like if you could play. It's called Spoonful.
Oh, sure. I think I played that before, but I'll play it again, sure. I'm laughing, by the way, when you say There Is Something on Your Mind, of course, because the Bobby Marchand version is just hilarious. And then there was a group out of Baltimore, the Jolly Jacks, who did the same thing.
I didn't hear that one. I knew Bobby Marchand.
Yeah.
I think a few people have done that song.
Oh, of course they have.
I like sax with the sax. That's Big J.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is the original. It doesn't have a soliloquy, but that is the original, and we will play it for you.
Well, if you want to play them tomorrow night or later in the week, that's all right.
Yeah, it won't be tonight, but hopefully tomorrow night.
That
all right, thanks.
Fine.
Appreciate it.
Thanks,
yeah, because we got one more bumper in it. Spoken for Tubby. Yeah, and we'll get to that. In fact, let's see. We got Sam in Gurnee. So, Sam, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you so much, Raleigh, and I'm so glad you and John are doing well.
Thanks.
I'm going to try to compact this because I know you only got a couple minutes left, but when you were talking about Sun,
mm-hmm.
I had such a beautiful time in 1982 on the third anniversary of the passing of Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
I went down with three other people, and we visited Humes High School.
Mm-hmm.
The Sun Studios was closed. We saw Graceland,
mm-hmm.
and as a matter of fact, Elvis's first cousin, Billy Smith, was the tour guide at Graceland, so that was wonderful. But the highlight of the tour was that we went to the Sun Studio, because I heard you talking about it earlier, and the studio was actually closed and up for sale at the time.
Right.
And it was pretty dilapidated. And it wasn't the new section that's on there where they made the museum and everything, and I know that the old section is included, but the section at 706 Union was just empty box, basically. But I called the number on the door, and it was a real estate agent, and I said, obviously I'm not looking to buy the building. I said, but we came all the way down from Chicago. I was wondering if there's any way we could take a peek inside. She said, I'll be right over. She was real sweet. So she popped the door, and at that time, everything was just as it had been left. It was empty.
Mm-hmm.
It was dusty and all that. The original desk was there. The original equipment was there. She walked us through, kind of let us do what we wanted as long as we were, on good behavior, which
right,
we were.
Right.
But she told us some stories. But the story that I wanted to share was that she explained that when Elvis would go into there were a lot of people that wondered where he got this particular sound from. And there were actually teams that came from Europe and different parts of the countries and measured out the size of the studio, replicated the tiles and everything, and couldn't get the same sound.
Right.
And then she said the deal was that when Elvis and his guys would go in, they'd leave the door to the sound recording studio, they'd leave it cracked about an inch.
Okay.
And then they would record it because then they got that hollow sound behind it. So I just think it's a fascinating and wonderful story. And during that same trip, we had the pleasure of going to Humes High School and mm-hmm. met one of his school teachers. She was very up in age, but she walked us down to the gym or I should say, no, they didn't go. The other three stayed back. They weren't interested. But I went along with her, and she showed me the stage and where he had first performed, and then gave me some stationery. She gave me an autograph. And I'm kind of going in reverse because all this stuff happened. The Sun Studio thing was the last thing we did. But when I first got there, I was kind of following the tabloids at the time.
Uh-huh.
And we went to a neighborhood behind Graceland, and there was a guy raking in the yard. We had a picture from the National Enquirer, and it was Cindy Thompson's home where she had grown up. So there was a guy raking leaves, so we got out and talked to him, and it actually ended up being her father. But he shared a story about I said, you know, you got any Elvis stories? You know, you obviously live local to him and stuff, and I hope I'm not intruding. He was all happy to share. He goes, no, that's fine. He goes, people do this all the time. But anyway, he says, that wall, he pointed to a wall, and he said, you see that wall there? I said, yeah. And he said, well, in, I think it was 67 or 68, he said it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And he said, Elvis, he goes, I'd never met Elvis. We'd seen him on the road or on a three-wheeler or something. He said, but he was up on the wall calling for everybody to wake up. And he said, he put a ladder out, and he said the people in the neighborhood climbed over the stone fence. And she said, he invited us in. We had breakfast. He made breakfast or had his people made breakfast for us. And we stayed up, and he was celebrating Lisa Marie's birth.
Oh, wow.
And he says, and we stayed there for about 2 hours. He goes, the whole group of us, none of us had ever met him or anything. He says, but the last thing in the world I ever knew was that years later, my daughter, Cindy Thompson, would actually be, you know, his girlfriend.
Yeah, right, and, exactly.
You know, so it was just fascinating. It was just a fascinating time. And it was like we were hitting, you know, sometimes you could just miss every mark, but it was like, we couldn't do anything wrong. You know?
No, that's terrific.
Time.
And yeah, that's an interesting little building at 706. It's almost like a little triangle shape the way it works, as you know, and had that big billboard on the roof, probably was still there. And yeah, I know they've since restored it.
But actually, when we went there at 706,
yeah.
that the triangle that you see wasn't lit at that time, was not a part of the studio. It was, that was something else, like a restaurant or something.
Right, right.
And the studio itself was just...
Right, was just the building on the side with the two windows. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But that building was always interesting because it was a weird triangle thing. And yeah, with those weird little windows they had on that triangle, I remember that. But yeah, no, Sun was really middle of the block kind of thing. Yeah, I know. Good.
Yeah, but thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it. I love your show.
Great to hear from you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Bless you and John.
All right. So, yeah, and it was on the side of the street. But that building itself was just sort of weird in terms of how the architecture of it. In any event, we'll get to Cindy. We'll get to James. We'll get to you, I hope. And we'll get to, of course, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes featuring Teddy Pendergrass next on WGN Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can. Just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now.
help all the doctors make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yep, Teddy Pendergrass on lead, late 1975. Got to number one on the Hot Soul Singles chart on Billboard. And it was, of course, Philadelphia International, Harold Melvin, and the Blue Notes. And it was really a who's who. It was recorded at Sigma Sound, and McFadden and Whitehead wrote it. And Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff produced it. And it was just a winner. So I hope that Tubby liked it. All right, so waning moments here, and Cindy's going to burn down her house. No, she's going to a smudge with Sage. Are you there, Cindy?
Yeah, I decided to talk about the Sage tomorrow because I kind of have a longer story. But I have a request. I have a request. I used to sing this song to my boyfriend. It's from one of my favorite movies, High Society, Bing Crosby's True Love. Is that the name of the song?
We'll find it. True Love, Bing Crosby. I'll look for it.
You know, you and I have a guardian angel with on high with nothing to do but to give to you and to give to me love forevermore.
Alrighty,
I don't know if that's the name.
I'll try to find it. You're out of my wheelhouse, that's for darn sure, but I'll try to find it.
Yeah, it's, my uncle was born in 1906, and he favored Bing Crosby over Frank Sinatra. He didn't care for Frank Sinatra. Uh-huh. He loved Bing Crosby, but, you know, but that was his opinion, but not anyhow. But then anyhow, I have some help for people. I just thought of this. I had another migraine headache today, and I've been taking this medicine for about 30 years, clinically bipolar. Migraine headaches are caused by enlarged blood vessels in the brain. I've read many things about it, and for years were tortured by them with no medicine. And then in the early 90s, a medicine came out that was called Bubarbital Aspirin Caffeine. And it helped me 100%.
Excellent.
You know, I have the whole, you know, I've had these headaches since, you know, grammar school. Where my arms go numb. One time I threw up like 10, you know, vomited like 10 times and, you know, just the pain and the arms going numb, the face going numb, the vision, you know, they're not really serious or anything. They're just creepy. But then this medicine, you take two initially and then one every half hour for a total of four, and just like lay down and drink a lot of water, and because you get like dehydrated from them, and but that's it, you know. Okay,
all right.
Hopefully that'll help some people.
Well, hopefully they'll talk to their doctors about it. Not the kind of thing you should try yourself.
All
right, thanks, appreciate it. All right. We'll talk about the sage and smudging. All right, very good. All right, so that I'll look forward to that. But yes, migraines certainly are a bear. But if you have that problem, definitely talk to your doctor about it before you go trying anything. James on the south side, less than a minute left, so we'll be talking tomorrow night, no doubt. But we can talk about the Nevada couple mysteriously found dead in Mexico and why their children say they'll never know how they died.
It seems to be a very unfortunate thing. It's like, I mean, you go down, you're expecting just a relaxing thing, and then something else, some other fate falls in on you.
Indeed. So we'll pick it up there tomorrow night, and I'll get to you earlier, I promise. And thank you for waiting and for calling. All right. And on that note, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. I'd appreciate it if you do it tomorrow night. That's right, 21 hours from now. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.